Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It is amazing to think how quick this year's flying by. I mean, to me, it feels like just yesterday we were in the middle of the NFL playoffs. Now, maybe it's because, you know, I was out for 2 weeks, basically, you know, or at least stuck in the house for 2 weeks and then stuck in the house last week, too. But, I mean, we are right around the corner from free agency. The franchise tag windows are up. Free agent lists are coming out. The salary cap hasn't even been set. Teams are working through models. Ian, what did you think? Chris Sanders and I, you know, kind of discussing there. Chris doesn't want to cut Ben Jones. He doesn't want to cut Roger Saffold. He doesn't want to let Jonnu Smith go. And he wants to tag Corey Davis at $16 million. What did you think of that?
Well, I mean, at least he knows his priorities, what he wants. It sounds like it could be kind of tricky, though.
It just doesn't sound logical to me. I mean, it doesn't sound feasible to me. I mean, we're talking about real money here that they don't have.
I know the Titans are not the only team dealing with this, so, you know, it's going to be interesting, but I don't know. It's going to be tough. I do not envy John Robinson this year or any GM. That is for sure.
I don't either. I think that the way free agency is going to work this year, unlike a normal year, where for most teams, the cap keeps going up because the money for football is so much that the cap just keeps going up. So you trim a little bit of the fat, then you go sign what you want, you know, and you can take a risk, a $9.5 million risk on Vic Beasley. You can't take that kind of risk. You cannot take that kind of risk right now, given this year's cap. Again, the cap, I think, was, what, $197 million last year? This year, it's going to be either $182 or $183. I mean, they were probably expecting this time last year for the cap to be about $210 million. It's not going to be that. And so here they are trying to figure out what they're going to do. And they're trying to say, okay, who can we keep? Who do we have to let go of? Who can we make a move on? And that's why I wonder, we had Trevor Maddich on, ESPN college football analyst yesterday, and I was asking him about different positions in the draft. Because this is where knowing the draft is really important. If you know that this draft class is really good at, say, interior offensive linemen, centers and guards, and you feel like you could get a center in the third round who could come in and start today, kind of like you drafted Nate Davis in the third round, and he came in and started as a rookie when you made it to the AFC Championship game. If that's out there, do you have to commit to, you know what, we might lose Ben Jones? There are guys that are going to be released. Kyle Rudolph with Minnesota. He had a down year, 28 catches for 334 yards and a touchdown. Kyle Rudolph is a $9 million a year tight end. He's going to be released by the Vikings. Zach Ertz in Philadelphia, 36 catches, 335 yards, one touchdown. He had a down year. He's about to make $8.5 million. He's probably going to be released. But that's what the Titans are going to have to do, is in order to make the priority fixing the defense, which is my priority, which means I think two free agents, at least at pass rusher, one or two high, and I'm talking about in the first, you know, first through third rounds, one or two pass rushers, probably another defensive lineman that you're going to have to sign, and most likely a defensive back, maybe a starting corner or a backup corner that you're going to have to, you know, play if anybody gets hurt. You're going to have to sign or draft all of that. So that's where I look at wide receiver, or I look at positions in free agency, and I think it's going to go in waves, as John Robinson talked about. The guys who are at the top of free agency, they're going to get paid. And the teams that have the money, the Jets, the Colts, the Dolphins, I believe, have money. The Patriots have money. The Jags have money. Those guys will sign. And I'm talking the top. Like, Chris Godwin is going to be signed, and he's going to make money if he's not tagged. Shaq Barrett is going to sign, and he's going to make money. It's the other guys that are going to really face the brunt of this. I think this is a bad year for a guy like Jonnu Smith. I mean, I think Jonnu would love to be tagged with the franchise tag. I think even the transition tag at $8.5 million, he'd do it for 1 year. But I think he would love the idea of the franchise tag at $10 million, because now he's overpaid by about $2 million, and it gives him a year until the cap goes back up, and then he can re-enter the market. Tagging Derrick Henry was the worst thing you could have done to Derrick Henry. Tagging Jonnu Smith is the best thing you could do for Jonnu Smith. But I'm thinking, wouldn't you rather take like a one-year flyer on a Kyle Rudolph? Say, okay, Kyle, here's 1 year, $5 million. And I know it's less than your $9 million that you were making last year. But at 1 year, $5 million, you have the opportunity to go out there and prove to the rest of the league that you can still play. Now, I'm going to have Anthony Firkser in here, and I'm going to have another tight end, you know, a guy who's a minimum salary guy. I'm going to have those guys in here, but I'm giving you a 1 year, $5 million chance. And now you're saving $5 million to bring in Kyle Rudolph than you are to tag Jonnu Smith. That's like Chris loves Corey Davis, and I get it. He's a wide receiver. And he kind of played the Corey role as the number two guy on a running team that was really good. But you can't pay him $16 million.
Give Chris anything. He's been consistent about keeping
he
Davis.
He loves Corey Davis.
I mean, he has not wavered off that the entire offseason.
See, like, I love Ben Jones. I'm just realistic about his money at the center position. I don't love Corey Davis. I mean, to me, Corey's gone. Let Corey go. Let somebody give Corey the money. Get your third-round pick as a comp pick in next year's draft and just go. Just move forward. But, I mean, I'm serious. When I'm looking at this at this chart and I'm saying $10 million for Jonnu Smith, or I can sign David Njoku when he gets cut in Cleveland, I'll take that. And this is where knowing the draft is really, really important. And it's going to be really, really important for John Robinson. I mean, if he screws up the draft this year like he screwed it up last year, the Titans are in trouble. I mean, if that's the case, and I've said this, and I know that it sounds like I'm putting pressure on somebody, but I think I'm just being realistic when I say, if the Titans screw up, like if they screw up the 2021 draft and 2021 free agency, but especially the draft, if they screw up the draft like they did last year's draft, Robinson will eventually get fired for it. He won't get fired next year if they don't win, but in 3 years from now, when Henry and Tannehill are, you know, at the either the edge of their window or they're off it, and you just don't have any players, and all your core guys that got you to the AFC title game are gone or not playing in the NFL anymore, or aren't any good anymore, and you don't have anything to replace it with, and you've had losing seasons in the past, like this upcoming season, that will be a losing season if you don't draft well or sign well, you will get fired. I mean, that's just, that's not a threat. That's not, you know, a hot take. That's not, that is a promise. But, I mean, I think the Titans have to be creative. Like, I think that this is a little crazy. SpotTrac has, like, market value for wide receivers. And, like, the market value for Corey Davis is $9.8 million. The market value for Will Fuller is, and I mean, 16.9 for Will Fuller. That's ridiculous. I mean, if John Robinson gave Will Fuller $16.9 million, I would be calling for him to be fired, like on the spot. Like if I own the team, it's like, well, we're going to sign up for $16.9 million. Okay, you're fired. But A.J. Green has an average annual salary, according to SpotTrack, at $6 million. A.J. Green has never been on a good team. A.J. Green, throughout the course of his career, has made a ton of money. And by the way, the fact that A.J. Green is, you know, expected to make about $6 million and, you know, maybe take a little bit off that because this is a COVID cap, maybe get A.J. Green at $5 million. So if you sign Kyle Rudolph coming off of a down year, getting cut, and A.J. Green, if you sign them in the $5 and $6 million range, then you would be getting both of those guys for less money than you would on the tag for Corey Davis and for roughly the same amount of money that you would get for Jonnu Smith on the tag. And I know it's more difficult to learn a new system than it would be just to bring Jonnu Smith back. And I know there are no guarantees that those guys would fit in here, especially Green, who's got an injury history. I understand. I hear you. But you got to take some risks now. You cannot go into this and say, well, you know, I can overspend for all, because you just don't have the money. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your text, 615-737-1025. What about the compensation? Is anybody thinking about this, the comp picks that the Titans can get if they let these guys go? Because I have not heard anybody bring it up. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to that, and of course we'll get to your text. 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025, The Game, we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
John, one of the things, I guess, that this team has not had a lot of over the years is speed at the receiver position. Obviously, you got AJ, who's kind of a combination of strength and speed, but as far as just a pure burner at the wide receiver position, is that something that maybe you're going to make a priority to look for in the draft or in free agency?
Yeah, I think the priority for that position is to get open and catch the football and then run with it after you catch it. There's a lot of fast guys in this league that can't catch, a lot of fast guys that can't get open. So I think that when it comes to that position specifically, how they get open. AJ gets open different than Khalif Raymond. Khalif gets open different than Corey. They all get open different ways. But we want guys that can get open, catch the football, run with it after they catch it. And, you know, one of the more unsung jobs is their ability to block. You know, we got a guy we like to hand the ball to, you know, a lot. And we got to have guys that can go in and dig out those safeties, dig out those weak side linebackers.
That was John Robinson, and they're going to need wide receivers because Corey Davis is a free agent, Adam Humphries is going to get cut, and one of my criticisms, and I am not a draft criticism guy, one of my criticisms of John Robinson in the 2020 draft, and it's easy to criticize him right now for the 2020 draft because Isaiah Wilson looks like an unmitigated disaster of a bust with their first round pick, but I'm not a guy to give draft grades. I think that's stupid. But one thing that bothered me was they said this was an all-time wide receiver draft, talking about last year's draft, whether it was CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy or Henry Ruggs or Laviska Shenault or Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb or T. Higgins or, and the list goes on and on, all the way to guys like Devin Duvernay and just tons of guys that were in the draft. And the Titans did not take a single one, you know, just would not take a single one. And I figured, well, this team always needs some wide receivers. I mean, you know, speed guys, why not add a wide receiver? And they didn't. And now they could really use one because they may be looking in the draft. A texture to the text line. And I love it. Like, I feel like a lot of people have never really budgeted much in their life. Ian, you're married and you have a kid.
Correct.
How much, if I may ask, how much budgeting goes on in your household? I mean, you don't have to give me the numbers or anything like that, but just how much, like, on a daily basis do you guys budget?
Well, I wouldn't say we talk about it on a daily basis, but I mean, I think it's, I don't know, weekly, I'd say, weekly or every other week, we kind of talk about it.
I mean, and I'm not here to sit there and say what you should or shouldn't do. I remember, like, I got a new car a couple of years ago, and Braden Gall at the time told me, I mean, you got that single money. And no offense, but I look at my lifestyle with no kids, and I compare it probably to yours, Ian, with a kid, and I'm like, that probably makes it a little bit of a difference. My life would probably be a lot different with a kid.
There's just things you have to think about as far as what you're going to be spending on, you know, versus maybe what you're spending now versus, hey, give it a couple of years, and then really what you're going to be spending. So it is difficult.
Well, a texter texts into the text line, which is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And I look at some of these things. Titan fans are like, no, we can't lose that guy. We cannot cut Ben Jones. Absolutely not. And we can't lose Corey Davis. And we got to tag Jonnu Smith. And we got to do. And I hear these things, and I'm like, have any of y'all ever budgeted for anything before? Like, a texter to the text line says, Jared, name me another receiver who put up the numbers Corey did this past year that also blocks the way Corey does. He is always the receiver down the field on all of Derrick Henry's long runs. If you can do that for me, I agree with you. Otherwise, I think Corey needs to resign. What if Corey Davis said, I'm only resigning for $20 million? I heard a rumor that the Titans offered Jack Conklin pretty close to what he got in Cleveland, and Jack was like, no. Family's closer there. They, you know, Titans didn't pick up my fifth-year option. Come on. And the idea of, well, but Corey Davis blocks. I'm not knocking Corey Davis. When I say I want to get rid of somebody. That is not me or saying, hey, let's try Kyle Rudolph at a discounted rate instead of Jonnu Smith at full price. I'm just saying, like, because I'm trying to budget. I am trying to budget on defense. I am trying to budget. Because how are you going to find the money? Like, where's the money coming from? If you sign Corey Davis, and let's say the market for him is $10 million, okay? And I agree with the idea that Chris Sanders had, which was not, you know, say, hey, let me franchise tag you and then give it to you incentives, because that's not going to happen. But I do agree with the idea that if you re-sign Davis, you can probably convince him to give you a contract where there's some signing bonus up front, and then you spread it out over the whole course of the deal. Now, I don't truly believe in Corey Davis as much as everybody else does. I think he had a good year in his free agent year. He didn't show up in the biggest games of the season, and he gets hurt too often for my taste. And he's too invisible too often. But let's say you work out a deal with him so that it comes across this year as $7 million against the cap, and then you have it going forward. That I can work with. But you can't do that if you tag him. And you can't do that if he's getting paid full price. Like, neither of those are an option. So it almost has to be the perfect and right deal that comes to you. Which maybe is a possibility if you let him get out there and the money he wants isn't out there. But the reason you can't franchise tag, you can't tag either Davis or Smith, is because they know you can't afford to pay them the tag. I mean, again, if Humphreys goes, if Vaccaro goes, if either Jackson or Butler goes, you're at $16.9 million. And that is still with Harold Landry as your only pass rusher. That's not going to work. That's where you have to draft guys to fill those spots. You have to draft them. Like Trevor Maddich was on our show and was bringing up names of receivers that I had never even heard of that he said, hey, you can draft this guy and he can probably come in and start opposite A.J. Brown. Take a listen.
And I'll give you two guys at wide receiver that are intriguing for me on the outside for the Titans. One is De'Ami Brown out of North Carolina. He is arguably the best deep threat wide receiver in college football. I mean, the average depth of target was over 17 yards downfield for him. But because of that, he didn't really rep a whole lot of shorter routes and underneath routes. So he's not very good at that. But he runs by everybody, and that includes Clemson. He runs by the elite defenses. And that's one thing that the Titans have needed is an outstanding deep threat. And they'll have to develop him underneath. But going downfield, De'Ami Brown is really interesting, and he should fall because of that into those middle rounds for the Titans. Another guy like that is Tylan Wallace out of Oklahoma State. He's a former track star. He gets deep, but he's even less experienced at running the underneath routes than De'Ami Brown. And so with all that speed and all that ability to get over the top all the time, make contested catches deep, all that, he's not a complete wide receiver. But you can't coach speed. Those two guys, De'Ami Brown, Tylan Wallace, have a chance to become diamonds in the rough and steals in the middle rounds of this draft for the Titans.
Imagine if you took a guy like that and he pans out. Like, imagine if you took, and I don't know either guy. I mean, I will be completely honest with you. But let's say Corey Davis signs a deal. Let's say Indianapolis signs Corey Davis to a contract. You get a third-round compensatory pick in 2022. You draft one of those guys. Trevor's right. You can't coach speed. They're the perfect deep threat, which I believe, is what you need opposite A.J. Brown. A.J.'s good. He's not a speed guy. You need a burner that is opposite A.J. Brown. Let's say you do that. Let's say you accomplish that goal. You get what you want. Okay? So now, you hit with a fourth-round pick at wide receiver. You're not spending any money that you can now dedicate to the defense. I don't know, J.J. Watt. And A.J. Brown has the perfect complement. You think, well, I mean, what are the likelihoods of a guy in the middle rounds of the draft coming in and being able to start right away? And A.J. Brown. I mean, the second best receiver in the Tennessee Titan history behind Derek Mason, A.J. Brown, was a second-round pick. They desperately needed a right guard. And we're sitting there on the draft stage that night. Floyd, me, and Derek Mason. And we're talking about, they got to take a guard, take a guard, take a guard. And they take A.J. Brown, but psh, they don't need wide receiver. And guess what? It was one of the best picks John Robinson's made as a Titans general manager. They didn't need a running back when they picked Derrick Henry, who is probably the best pick John Robinson has made as general manager of the Titans. They're going to have to rely on that this year. The idea of, well, but Corey, he knows the system, and Corey blocks down the field, and Corey is a good complement to AJ, and I'm not taking any of that away. But you don't have the money. And then every time I want to get you the money, by, say, releasing Ben Jones, oh, no, 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 no. But here are the guys on the Titans they can legitimately release. I mean, where they release them and it actually gives you some money. For example, Tannehill's a $39.5 dead million cap hit. So it would be dumb to release Tannehill because his cap charge is less than what it would be if you cut him. The guys you absolutely cannot cut via the cap. You cannot cut Ryan Tannehill. You cannot cut Kevin Byard. You cannot cut Derrick Henry. You cannot cut... You cannot cut Rashawn Evans. You can trade him. You can't cut him. You can't cut Jeffrey Simmons. Now, the Isaiah Wilson thing is a question mark because that's got to get worked out via the league and the union. Because if you cut Isaiah Wilson, given what his contract was, you're looking at a $5.3 million cap charge as opposed to a $2.6 million cap charge if he's on your team. So as of right now, you can't cut him. You can't really cut A.J. Brown, and you can't cut Kristen Fulton. Those are the guys you can't cut. So now who are you going to cut? You can cut Malcolm Butler, but now you got to go find a number one corner. You can cut Taylor Lewan, but now you got to go, you're going to save $9 million, and now you're going to go find a left tackle. So it's not as easy as you think. It's like, okay, Ben Jones, 32-year-old center, Taylor Lewan, a left tackle in the middle of his prime. There's just not a ton of guys out there for you to cut. It's just not that simple. So you put yourself in a position where you cannot have everything. And that's where I get with it. You know, Chris Sanders wanting to tag Corey Davis. You just can't do it. It's just not feasible. And so I keep looking at this and I keep saying to myself, are we going to be able to actually have the discussions where you can budget this money, or is everybody just going to be like, sign them, don't cut them, sign, sign, sign? Because it's almost driving me crazy looking at these numbers saying, well, you want to cut both starting corners? You want to go into the season with Kristen Fulton as the number one corner of the Tennessee Titans on a defense that right now can't stop anybody anyways? And I mean that like it's an actual question. Is that the route you want to go? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. I also did not get to the big point that I wanted to make. But there are some positions for the Titans that Trevor Maddich has looked at in the draft that, hey, if you decide to cut this guy, maybe you can go in this direction. If you want to go this way in the draft, Trevor's kind of laid it out. I want to hit on those a little bit. 615-737-1025, and that's what we'll do next. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. Hey, we got a big contest coming up later today, so be listening for your chance to win to get in on that contest. How would you like to watch the Preds in style? Tune in later on the show as we'll reveal a keyword for you to text into the game text line at 615-737-1025 for your chance to win the T-Mobile Hockey Home Gate. It's your chance to watch a weekend Preds game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing Bundt Cake, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food for your home gate. You must be 21 or older to enter. Stillman & Company at ESPN 1025 The Game.
Ben Jones, $7.25 million, cut. You got to cut someone on the offensive line. I'm going to keep Saffold. I'm going to cut Ben Jones. I'm going to look at Aaron Brewer. I'm going to have to try to make that work. It's a big loss, but I'm cutting him.
Joe Retro saying earlier today he's cutting Ben Jones, and oh my goodness, the Titans fans are just going nuts. Jared, how can you cut him? Why? It's a lot of money. That $6.2 million you save against the cap, that, by the way, is probably one edge rusher the Titans could go out and get. And in fact, there's a lot of talk about what do you do at center? What do you do if you lose him? And luckily, we had Trevor Maddich, ESPN college football analyst, on our show yesterday. And I asked Trevor, okay, Titans cannot go center in the first round of this year's draft. But if they were going interior offensive line, or if they were going with the center position, what would you look at? And again, this is for a guy to come in and start. And here's what Trevor said. Take a listen.
There's a couple guys that are intriguing for the Titans. One of them is out of Illinois. His name is Kendrick Green. He is explosive. I mean, one of the most explosive interior offensive linemen I've seen in the last couple of years. That's snapping shotgun and firing out and drilling people and shocking people. He's got that kind of nasty ability to initiate a run block. But the reason he might drop is because he's not all that awesome at pass protection right now. He just needs a lot of work on his technique. But he's a fantastic athlete. And so because of that, the Titans would get a guy who right off the bat can run block and has the athletic ability to develop into an improving pass rusher.
So he's a young guy. He's not going to be as good as Ben Jones right away. But in a couple of years, he's explosive. He's athletic. He might actually end up being better in 2 or 3 years if you hit on it. What about Alabama's guy? Last time I checked, Ian, Alabama, for the most part, puts together pretty good offensive linemen. I think a lot of us are scarred because Chance Warmack was so bad. But for the most part, Jedrick Wills is pretty good. For the most part, Ryan Kelly at center is pretty good. Bradley Bozeman is pretty good. A lot of guys that come out of Alabama know how to play offensive line. What about Landon Dickerson? Now, again, he got hurt this year. We remember the story. Came in for the last play of the national championship to snap the ball. So it's going to be an injury guy. But I remember Harold Landry was injured and they drafted him. I remember Jeffrey Simmons was injured and they drafted him. Trevor said this about Landon Dickerson.
Now, you want a guy that's complete? Get one at the top of the draft. But see, here's another guy that should be at the top of the draft, and he might fall as far as the third round. We'll see. And that is, out of Alabama, Landon Dickerson. Now, Dickerson is, you know, more physical than Green. Dickerson is so much fun to watch. If you enjoy watching offensive linemen dominate and pancake defenders with a nasty attitude, then stand over them and say something, that Dickerson is entertaining. Because he's so violent. But you got to think of him like Jeffrey Simmons, because he's got some serious medical red flags. I mean, his freshman year, he was at Florida State, actually. He tore his ACL. The year after that, he had an ankle injury, missed 9 games. And then his last year at Alabama, he tore his ACL in the SEC championship game, right? So can he stay healthy? And that's a big question mark, and that's where the Titans would have to do their due diligence. The doctors will have to be right. Looks like they were right about Jeffrey Simmons, but if Dickerson falls to them in the third round or so, and if they believe that he will get healthy and will have the durability, they will have a first-round talent in the third round.
Those are the kind of players you're going to have to get this year, and they're going to have to play because some guys aren't going to be here. Rookies are going to have to fill roles on the team. And when a guy like Davis or a guy like Jonnu Smith leaves, you get a comp pick in next year's draft, somewhere probably around the third round. That needs to be something you go after. Fred in Ashland City texts into the text line. It really shocks me when I think about the cap situation for the league this year. Short of most veteran free agents taking massive pay cuts or low money on one-year deals, I have no idea how all these players will get on a team. It almost seems like we're going to be watching a replacement-level player at most positions in the league next year. I think you're going to see a weird contrast next year of young guy who's not ready and top-end stud who's getting paid. Patrick Mahomes is not giving up any money because of the way the salary cap is structured. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, those guys aren't giving up any money. But Sammy Watkins is not going to be on that team next year. So it's going to be young guys that may not be totally ready. Look at the Titans. Right now, if Jonnu Smith leaves and they don't spend money on a tight end, then they're either going to have to draft one early who's going to have to play, or you're going to have Anthony Firkser, a restricted free agent who you're going to re-sign as your starting tight end. Firkser's not ready for that. Now, he may never be ready. I don't think he will be. But when you cut Kenny Vaccaro, that means that Amani Hooker is going to go into that spot next to Malcolm Butler. I mean, excuse me, next to Kevin Byard. And I love Amani Hooker. I thought Amani Hooker was one of the best players on the defense. But is he ready? Jayon Brown leaves. David Long Jr. goes in there. He's played in some big games over the last couple of years with injuries to Jayon Brown. But is he ready? Those are the big questions that are following the Titans. And it's going to be that way the rest of the year. I mean, the Packers are $19 million over the cap. So a lot of guys are going to have to go. They're still going to have Rodgers. They're still going to have Davante Adams. They're still going to have Bakhtiari. They're still going to have some good players. They may sign J.J. Watt. But they're not going to have on defense what they've had in the past.
And they're going to lose their starting running back most likely as well, Aaron Jones.
They're going to lose him unless they tag him, and I don't think they're going to. So make of that what you will. But that's going to happen across the league. Then there are going to be just some bad teams that are trying to like reset themselves and reset their salary cap. And then there's going to be Indianapolis, who's going to try to, I'm not going to say buy a team, but Indianapolis can shop in any aisle they want to in free agency. They can go wherever they want, but they've got Carson Wentz as their quarterback. So can they really go out there and say, get two wide receivers for Carson so that he comes in there with Jonathan Taylor at running back. They buy him a left tackle. They buy him two receivers. He's got Michael Pittman Jr. And now Carson can go out and win some games. Or is there a ceiling when Carson Wentz is your quarterback, which is he's just not that good. And that's the question that I think a lot of teams are going to be asking themselves. And then the Titans are no different. The Titans are right in the middle of the pack. It's not an unmitigated disaster like what's going on right now in Pittsburgh, where it's like, do they have any better option to play quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger? They don't have any money. They're losing their center. They're going to lose Juju. Like, what? I mean, are they going to win at all this year? 615-737-1025. There is a big Titans story that we'll want to get to at 4 o'clock. So be listening for that, 615-737-1025. But I think we got to be fair as far as the Predators are concerned. There is a story with the Predators I was thinking about last night after Pecorine absolutely shut the door on the Detroit Red Wings. And I want to get to that next. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Coming into this season, I wonder, you know, did you get have a sense of how much, you know, you'd be – plan, whether it be 50%, you know, 30% or whatever, and especially lately, has the amount of games that you've had here been a surprise at all to you, or what are your thoughts?
Obviously, the you know, how strong Drews was at the end of the last season, and you know, he ended up playing the playoffs, and you know, I knew that. I mean, you always come to camp, and you know, I've been fortunate enough to, for the most of my career, be a number one goalie. And, you know, I try to prepare the same way. It doesn't matter what the situation this year was. And didn't really have too many expectations, I guess. And but at the same time, you always want to play. You know that, John. And but at the same time, it's a healthy competition. I consider myself lucky to play with Juice. He's just, I mean, he's coming to his prime, and you know, obviously I'm in a different situation, but I, you know, love to compete, you know, just trying to enjoy it. I've said it earlier that, you know, who knows if this is my last year, and just trying to really take it all in and give everything I have, it's been fun lately. Get to play a little bit more.
Who knows if this is my last year, Pecorine says. And the way he's playing right now, I vote no. I say, let's see if he can play another year after this year. I texted somebody last night, and I said, what do you think? One-year extension for Pekka? 1 year, $6 million? What do you think about that? And he said no. He said, I don't think I can go 1 year, $6 million on Pekka. He goes, I think they should trade Pekka. I'm like, wait a minute, what? I mean, the reason I say that is because of the Elliott Friedman report, in which they said that Pecorine was untouchable. Remember, Ian, I'm sorry to do this to you. If you could, Elliot Friedman, I guess this was on Monday, Elliot Friedman came out, and a lot of people, I think Pierre LeBrun wrote in The Athletic about the Titans and rebuilding and what they're going to be. And then Elliot Friedman on Sportsnet, you know, the Canadian insiders, they are all, they're like hawks just circling the Predators right now saying, okay, this looks like a team that's got some players on it who you really truly can kind of look at life without. And Elliot Friedman brought up what he was hearing about the Predators on Monday, and he said Pekka was untouchable.
All right, some other things around the league. First of all, the Nashville Predators, they entered the day seventh in points percentage in the Central Division, and there's talk about what they're going to do. Word is maybe only three untouchables: Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, and Pekka Rinne, who's towards the end of his career. I think other than that, the Predators are willing to listen on just about anybody. That includes Philip Forsberg. That also includes, I found really interesting, Dante Fabbro.
So forget about the Forsberg and Fabbro element. They said Rinne was untouchable. I guess it makes sense. I asked Rinne about the rumors earlier in the week. He kind of blew it off and said they were focused on these games. But then I started thinking, okay, if somebody whose opinion I trust says that they would trade Rinne, let him get a shot to go win a cup, I have no problem with that. I mean, I think they owe it to Pekka. If this team really isn't any good, that they owe it to Pekka to go up to him and say, okay, what do you want to do? Do you want to stay here? We're going to tear it down. We're going to be awful this year for the rest of the season. Then we're going to try to infuse some new blood, clear up some cap space, make some moves in the offseason, get some trades, maybe somebody, you know, maybe you pull out another Martin Erat for Philip Forsberg. And then you play this year with another team, you try to win a cup, and then you come back here at the end of the year, and maybe we re-sign you, and you're the starting goalie next year, or whatever. I think it's wrong in my heart to have Pekka Rinne retire in a pandemic-shortened and crowdless season. I know the Preds are having some fans into the stands. I'm going to go on Saturday. But I would prefer that it be kind of a full house season where we know ahead of time that Pekka's retiring at the end of the year so that we can celebrate throughout the whole course of the year, if that's what in fact happens. But how would you feel about Pekka Rinne going to another team, taking over as goalie, and trying to win a cup? What if Peter Laviolette, for example, who probably can use a goalie? What if Peter Laviolette were to trade for Pekka Rinne in Washington? They get a little pick, you know, a third, a fourth, nothing crazy. You get a pick for Pekka, he gets a chance, and then maybe he wins his cup, maybe he doesn't win his cup, and then he's back in a free agent into free agency and you can bring him back. Or he retires somewhere else. How would you feel? I'm talking about you, the fans, because I think this is what you've got to think of. I think it would be selfish for the organization if they were to just keep Pekka and say, no, Pekka's going to be our goalie no matter what. Since Pekka's a Pred, he's going to be here, and we're not going to move him. I think you need to do what he wants. So whatever trade you're thinking about making, you got to ask him, hey, do you want to go try to win a cup? Washington has called us and they've asked if you would have any interest in being their goalie. Do you want to do that? Like, I think he's earned that, the right for you to treat him with that kind of respect. I don't think anybody else on the team has earned that. We were talking about David Poile, and I like David Poile fine, but the results are what they are. And Joe Rexrode wrote about this in The Athletic last week, and Elliot Friedman brought it up on the midday show, and they were talking about the idea that maybe Poile kicks it on upstairs and they bring in somebody else that's kind of the GM who picks the players and picks the roster and the coaches, but that David's still involved. And I'm like, why? If the job David is not doing is not good enough, then you have to break up with David. Now, you can do it as respectfully as possible, but you have to break up with him. You have to bring in somebody new, and it has to be their operation. I like David, but they've paid David a lot of money over the years. They don't owe it to David, in my opinion, to let him do whatever he wants to do. Rene, I think, is kind of different. I think they do owe it to Rene. Most of their success is because of Rene. What they're tearing down is because the guys aren't good enough to make up for the decline in his play. And the way he's playing right now, he had his 59th career shutout last night. Every game they win, and every game it feels like they have a chance to win, is because of him. Does anybody still feel like Saros is a viable option as a starter? I was reading something The Athletic wrote before the season started. They did their goalie tiers, which are kind of like the quarterback tiers that come out every July, and everybody argues, oh, he's a tier three quarterback. He should be a tier two quarterback. And they take all these unnamed executives and they rank all the goalies. They have UC Saros with the Predators tied for 23rd with Linus Ullmark from the Sabres, just ahead of Cam Talbot and just behind Matt Murray. Now, this is before this season, where Saros has, quite frankly, stunk up the joint, at least by his standards. But he simply has not been very good. And this is what they said. Said an NHL general manager, quote, I love UC Saros when he's in the Anton Khudobin role. Cough, cough, backup. When I covered the Bruins in 2013, they went to the Stanley Cup. Tuukka Rask was the starter. Anton Khudobin was the backup. The GM continues, quote, when he's in the starter role, he looks like a little goalie after a while. Pekka Rinne will be better this year. Ian, I'd say that's pretty spot on.
It's kind of bearing out that way so far this year.
A coach says, quote, I'm not a fan, and it's not because of his size. I think he's been a good backup. He has to prove himself, talking about Saros. He's been on a decent team for a long time. He's been handed the ball quite a few times, and yet he's never taken the ball. That's what bothered me about Saros in the Arizona series. That's why, as I have mentioned, one of the biggest failings of John Hines' tenure as Predators coach, which is a very unfair and uneven tenure to judge, but one of the biggest mistakes I think he's made in his entire tenure is I believe that he should have given Pekka a chance last year in the playoffs or in the play-ins or whatever you want to call them. And he didn't. He was convinced Saros was his guy. Or he was convinced Rene wasn't his guy. Both of which I thought were ridiculous. I'm just trying to figure out how to win game four to get to game five. And he didn't make the move. And when I asked him about it afterwards, he said that he wasn't reconsidering the move. And then when they started the year, Saros game one, Saros game two. That told you all you needed to know. And now I think Hines, like that GM predicted, is like, I don't know if I can give him the ball every night. I give Rene the ball, I have a chance to win. Ever since he took Saros out of that game at Florida, when he put Pekka Rinne in, they came back and won that game in overtime, Pekka's been the guy again here. He clearly is playing like the good Pekka that we've known and seen for a decade. Now the question is, how do they treat him if this is in fact his last year or his second to last year and they have to tear it down? What do you do? How do you feel if he was wearing another jersey? How would you feel? 615-737-1025. Okay, there is a Titan story that will not go away, and it has been amplified. That's right, amplified. It's getting more real. I'll explain next.